So we're going to be in Jude verses 20 through 25 is where we'll be this morning. It says in Jude 20, 25, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." And then he says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we do come to you as our God and our Savior. We come to you through Jesus Christ. And we do want to bring you glory and majesty and honor this morning as we study the words that you have brought for us to shepherd and guide us through difficult and troubling situations that may occur in the life of this church. So, Father, I do pray that you would use these words, that you would use your word this morning to equip us to do, again, the work of your ministry. Lord, that you would help us to be mindful of ourselves, that you would help us to be so aware of different situations that may occur around us, that we would be able to respond to those things in a manner that, again, will bring you glory. I do pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we were talking about Underground Church Day, and I was telling you some of the dangers that we were trying to simulate last night for the youth group, some of those same dangers we're going to pick up, and we have talked about in the letter of Jude, over the past couple of weeks. So over the past couple of weeks, I hope that through the study of this book, of this letter, that you've taken the warning presented pretty seriously. I hope that you have considered the dangers that lurk beneath the surface of church body life. Each and every time you see a new or even maybe a familiar face in this congregation, I hope you've been stirred up by way of reminder that with discernment and patience, we need to consider not only our own speech, which issues from the deepest parts of our own hearts, but also the speech of others in whom we interact with. You see, in this brief, informative letter, we've been made aware of a situation. We've been made aware that there are hidden reefs in the midst of this love feast. We've been made aware that there are clouds without water, that there are autumn trees without fruit, that there are wild waves, that there are wandering stars right in our midst. So we've been made aware that certain persons or certain people can creep in unnoticed right into the fellowship of true believers. And we know for these people, there's an eternal judgment that is forthcoming. But while the eternal judgment is coming, they go on being self-deceived and, unfortunately, deceiving others. This is a present and a ginormous danger to the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. Now, while that may be very sobering, I can tell on all of y'all's faces, y'all like, whoa, it's a heavy situation. Heavy situation, but a real situation. The good news in this whole situation is we can recognize those wild waves by their fruit. Namely, we've seen this, that the fruit of their lips and their licentious lifestyles, that they are indulged in gross immorality. although you can start to recognize them for who they are over time, the question remains, what do you do? What do you do about the danger when you recognize it? What do you do when you see in your fellowship of believers headed right towards someone who might be a hidden reef ready to cause destruction and division? What do you do when you see the clouds that look like they're going to bring life-giving water, but they never produce anything? Again, what do you do with those fruitless autumn trees that should be bearing 20-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold by now, but you finally recognize that they are doubly dead and are actually not even connected to the vine? What do you do, beloved? And yes, I'm putting the emphasis and the ownership on you. What do you do? So that the ownership and the resolution on you for the people who are sitting right here in this room, who may feel like, I'm too young, I don't know enough, or I'm afraid to hurt somebody's feelings by telling them the truth. Or you might even say to yourself, I just don't know how to handle this situation or this issue. For all of you, I'm putting the ownership and the resolution right back on you. Because that's exactly what this letter from Jude divinely does. It places the ownership right back on you as individuals. It puts the ownership right back here on us collectively as a church. You see, in these closing verses of the letter from Jude to his original audience, he gives them the divine instruction to take ownership for correctly handling this dangerous situation. What we're going to see over this week and next week, because we're not going to make it through this, what we're going to see is Jude will give us four imperatives to every true believer as a battle plan to address unbelievers in our midst that are causing destruction and division in the body as we correctly identify the audience. Again, Jude would give us four imperatives to every true believer as a battle plan to address unbelievers in our midst that are causing destruction and division in the body of Christ as we correctly identify the audience. Simply put, Jude will give us four imperatives for how to contend earnestly for the faith. So four imperatives on how to contend earnestly for the faith. And I'm going to give them to you up front. So here they are. Of course, with some alliteration. So we're going to rehearse godliness. We're going to rehearse godliness. We're going to reach those who are doubting. We're going to rescue those who are drifting. And then we're going to reject those who are dead. Again, we're going to rehearse godliness. We're going to reach those who are doubting. We're going to rescue those who are drifting. And then we're going to reject those who are dead. And today we're only going to be able to focus in on that first one. Just we're going to focus in on us particularly. We're going to focus on rehearsing godliness. So you may already tell from the reading of the text or from the outline, there are four different scenarios in view here. I find this really helpful in order to help us understand our proper biblical responses in these situations. I believe we have three sets of sort of like a scenario response involving true believers, and one set of scenario response related to an outright, unmistaken unbeliever in our midst. So the first imperative is directed at the original audience, which would be genuine born-again believers. So if you're sitting here today and you have come to a saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and you are repenting of your sin, the first imperative to rehearse godliness is direct it squarely at you. There may be some in this room who fall into the second set, which would be those believers who are doubting the faith, and that faith being the body of doctrine and teaching handed down by the apostles. You could be in that the third group of people, who would be those believers who have moved beyond doubt into really troubling waters. And they are headed right towards living a life that does not reflect the realities of Scripture for the believer. And then this last group are unbelievers who demonstrate their true condition by the choices they make and the fruitless lifestyle that they lead. For each one of these groups of people, there are specific instructions on how Jude's original audience and you and I are to respond to each one of those situations. This all begins first, again, with you, if you are a believer here today. So first, we're going to talk about rehearsing godliness. Now, if you've ever flown, you'll know that prior to liftoff, there's a battery of processes and procedures that occur that must take place before you defy gravity, before you defy even logic. I still don't understand how tons of metal, right, get off the ground and then go. Pretty sure lift and drag, I get it, right? I get it, but logically, I still don't understand, right? It just defies logic for me. So even Nathan probably has this memorized by now, right? But they prep you prior to takeoff for an emergency midair in case the cabin loses pressure. And they always tell you, right? They always tell you, hey, before you help anyone else, who do you need to help? You need to help yourself. You need to help yourself. Right, so before you go get the sick Smith kids and cabin pressure has gone away, right, Justin, you need to make sure you take care of yourself, put on your own oxygen mask before you run to go help anybody else. So we all recognize that fact that you are utterly unable to help others if you are not in a healthy position yourself. I didn't write this down, but I just my mind went drifting, right? If you're situation occurs on a plane and then I go to help somebody, one of my kids, and I don't have on my oxygen mask, and then I pass out, like all 190 something pounds, just fall over on a kid. I'm like, that's a dangerous situation, right? That is not good. Help yourself first. So Jude provides the same command to each of us today. When riding through what appears to be calm seas, and then a wild wave appears threatening life and stability. So don't recommend the show, but I think there's a show called Greatest Catch. What's the one about crabbing? Deadliest Catch, right? Thank you, Sam. Deadliest Catch. So these guys are out there up near Alaska. I don't even know what ocean they're in. They're up there somewhere, right? Cold waters, right? Middle of the night. And there's this freak occurrence in nature where they'll be coasting alone, and out of nowhere, waves can just come to the side and knock a ship over, right? That's the type of wild wave I kind of have in my mind when I read this every time in Jude. Just, we're riding along, we're doing fine, and then out of nowhere, everyone goes, brace for impact. We're about to go down. So in the words of Jude, verse 21, if you look at it, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God, according to verse 21. Jude further explains how this is played out in the life of a believer by providing three present participles that you need to actively put into place to ensure you are able and fit to do your part in reaching, rescuing, and rescue or in rejecting when necessary. Now, this idea of keeping yourself in the love of God, first of all, is not about you somehow maintaining or gaining your salvation. So that topic is just not in view here. And furthermore, we know that salvation and the preservation of your salvation is all a work of God Himself. So the idea that we're talking about your salvation is not present here. What is in view is the contrast to what we have just seen previously in the letter of Jude. If you recall from a few weeks ago in Jude, the letter was speaking of judgment. It was speaking of punishment on those who acted in unbelief or proved by their actions and licentiousness to be haters of God. If you just look back up to Jude verse 5, you don't have to look far. Jude says, "Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh are exhibited as an example in undergoing of punishment of eternal life." Judgment, eternal punishment, destruction, being kept in eternal bonds under darkness for judgment, undergoing punishment of eternal fire has absolutely nothing to do with those who are in and under and surrounded by the love of God. So this idea of keeping yourselves in the love of God has to do with being and doing the opposite of what those who deserve eternal judgment are actively doing or practicing. Again, this is not about you or us pulling ourselves in or maintaining ourselves in the love of God, but more about taking hold of God's grace and His provisions, as He's already provided for us, to grow continually in maturity, which brings about the sweet communion and the love of God that we seek. This is the concept. This is the idea you will be familiar with from other parts of Scripture. Right, like Philippians 2:12. It says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, now as in my presence, not as in my presence only, excuse me, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." So it is God that is at work in you. Interestingly enough, if you keep reading that passage, it says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing," right? And that's exactly what characterized some of the people right there in the letter of Jude. They were grumbling and complaining, issuing out from their mouth what's coming out of the overflow of their hearts. So again, it is God at work in you and through you, giving you the ability to keep yourself in the love of God. As you do the work that God has given, empowered by the strength God provides, you will produce the God-glorifying works that keep you in that sweet communion and love of your Heavenly Father. It's that sweet abiding that Christ speaks of in John 15. Matter of fact, you for the same point around the fact that it's God that's doing the work, you can look at the end of the letter in the doxology that we'll look at sometime later on. You can look at the end of the letter of Jude to see the same point reinforced that God is the one that's actually keeping you. Look down at Jude 24. Jesus says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So again, it is God who is the one that has done the work and has provided the means of keeping yourselves in the love of God. And Jude doesn't leave us alone here to try to figure out, well, how do you do this? What does it mean to keep yourself in the love of God? So he doesn't leave us alone there. He actually provides some commands, some participles to help bring color and form to this idea of keeping ourselves in the love of God. So these three participles are the practices that must be rehearsed for godliness. The practices that must be rehearsed for godliness. They must take hold, or we must take hold of all of them, all the time, but especially during those situations when navigating those hidden reefs within our fellowship. And here are those three practices all believers should rehearse in order to keep themselves in the love of God. So first, you've got continuing to grow in maturity produced by focusing on the faith. We're going to define what the faith is again. Secondly, you've got continuing to pray at all times. And then lastly, we're going to see continuing to wait for the return of Christ. So those first two participles, we're going to see these first two participles of building yourselves up and praying are more active, describing more of how to keep yourselves in the love of God. And the third one is going to describe more of the outflow that occurs. So back in the text in Jude 20, it's going to be the point around continuing to grow in maturity. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So this first practice here is more general. Right? You can compare that to the next one. He's going to talk about praying, right? So praying is a very specific spiritual discipline that we take hold of. So this first one is more general. It's to build yourselves up. So the direction or where and how you're doing this is by examining the most holy faith. By observing, by learning, by listening to. So as we have seen before in the letter of Jude, the faith is speaking of the foundational truths that were laid down by the apostles, given by the apostles. This faith is the body of truth and doctrine that's captured in Holy Scripture. This idea is about taking the Word and deepening in spiritual maturity by feasting upon the Word of God individually and then sharing with others the same truths you're learning day by day. Doing so, we will individually and collectively, we will be built up to withstand the schemes of the devil. So it's in Scripture where we find all things pertaining to life and godliness. It's in Scripture where we learn the disciplines required. We learn the disciplines required to constantly... excuse me, I was trying not to cough on the microphone. But we learn the disciplines required in order to mortify the sin that continues to cling to our flesh. It's where we learn how to glorify God. It's in Scripture where we find the truth that keeps us in this sweet communion in the love of God by humbly submitting ourselves to God's will in a moment-by-moment Christ-like attitude of not my will be done, but yours. So although a general idea presented here, the thought of building ourselves up through the holy faith once for all, handed down to the saints, becomes very, very specific. But the big question that I have for myself every time I'm reminded of the importance of Scripture the importance of going to the Word daily is, how are we doing with this? Right? How often are you intaking the Word of God? How long are you deeply meditating upon the Word of God? When was the last time you memorized a section of Scripture? When was the last time you encouraged one of your friends to memorize a section of Scripture? You can do a self-diagnosis this morning, but this is one of the practices that we have to do in order to withstand some of these schemes of the devil that even will come in our midst. Now, the second participle, more active again, and more specific this time, again, in verse 20, Jude says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith," he says, "praying in the Holy Spirit." Praying in the Holy Spirit. From general to very specific, Jude hones in on prayer as a means to keep yourselves in the love of God. I can't think of any other spiritual practice that would be more counter or in juxtaposition to the grumbling and the complaining against God that we saw by the unbelievers in verse 16 in this letter. Verse 16, it says, "These are grumblers. They're finding fault, following after their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage." Prayer is a complete opposite of this concept of grumbling and complaining. Prayer is that humble time to recognize and confess God's loving care for us as His people, while asking for those most intimate needs with an openness to receive what God has willed for our lives, knowing that He has His glory in view as well as our good. It's the acts that we talk about, right? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplications. That's prayer. It's counter to what the unbeliever does when in Romans it says they don't even give thanks. Prayer is the opposite of that. So there's no better place to be found or to find the love of God than with humble hearts and with bowed heads as we confess our weaknesses, our failures, our sins, our sorrows to our Heavenly Father as we request those daily sustenance to help us get up and fight again another day. So again, same question that I ask you from your time in the Word, your time in the faith. How's your prayer life? I ask myself the exact same thing. How's your prayer life? And I think we all would say, "I need to pray more," right? We say that every single time. You sit down for a discipleship meeting and you go, "Hey, how's your prayer life?" Everybody goes, "I need to pray more." Got it. What are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? So I want to encourage you with that this morning. You got a very general topic, right? Studying the truths in Scriptures, applying them day by day to every single situation. And then a very, very specific practice to rehearse, which is prayer. Prayer without ceasing. And then this last participle around continuing to wait for the return of Christ. Jude goes on to say in verse 21, he says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." Mentioned before, this is more of an this is more of an outflow of the general and specific practices that we've already seen of digging into the Word and in prayer. As you dig in the Word and you live a life of prayer, you will only long to see your Master's face. You will long for that eternal kingdom where Christ will rule and where He will reign. You will long for the troubles of this world to end. You will long to see an end to sin and death and sorrow and sadness. At the end of the day, you will long to be with Jesus the more you spend time in the Word and the more you spend time in prayer.
I didn't tell you what the title of this message was, but it's actually, it's a battle plan for the believer. It's a battle plan for the believer. So that first part of this whole battle plan, right? The first part of this whole battle plan was for the believer. We have to first make sure we are equipped, that we are healthy, that we are ready, and we're taking hold of the provisions that God has given us through His Word, which will keep us and surround us in His loving care. And because we're not going to go on further to reaching and rescuing and rejecting, you got to remember the reason why we keep coming back to spiritual realities and spiritual truths of digging into the Word and prayer is because this is a spiritual battle. Right? This is an absolute spiritual battle. As I was thinking about this, it made me go right back to Ephesians 6. So before we dismiss this morning, let's just be reminded by turning over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, just listen to the warfare language and all of the armor that you and I have to take up every single day to fight the fight, particularly as we start to recognize the dangers even within our midst. Here's what Paul says in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm," he says, "stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." He says, "in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And just in case you forgot my exhortation about prayer, he goes on to say, "with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." So I hope as we get started in on the end of this book of Jude, one, you've remembered the warnings that we've already talked about throughout the book, but that you're ready to get into the battle. You're ready to get into the battle. Right? It's very alarming to me sometimes when people go, you know, that we'll be talking about a situation in a church, maybe in a small group or small atmosphere, and someone will say, "Oh, the leaders will take care of that. The leaders will handle that." Right? If we're waiting until it rises up to the level of our elders to hear about an issue in the church, it has already gone on too long. Right? Each and every one of us sitting in this room, we are the eyes and the ears for this local church. And so we must be equipped to do the work that's being presented here in this work. But the work begins first with you guys. You got to take care of yourself. And then we'll talk about, hey, let's go reach out to those who doubt. Let's go rescue some who are hanging out even on the fringes of this group. Right? You got people who haven't quite connected into this group. There's people hanging out on the fringes that we need to go rescue. And then some will need to be rejected at some point. And we'll talk about that. So let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time to meet and consider just the seriousness of the spiritual realities as just revolving all around us. Lord, I do pray that you would use this time to equip us, that you would use this time to embolden us to go proclaim your truths first to ourselves as we dig into your word, that we would share that with our friends, that we would be on the watch for those hidden reefs, even right here in the midst of our own fellowship. Lord, I do pray that that you would work in the hearts and lives of the many congregants that participate in this church, Lord. That first of all, you would help us all to just guard our hearts and our minds. That you would, if they haven't already come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would work in their hearts today to do that. But Lord, I do pray for confidence and I pray for boldness. That if we see danger, that we would not flee from it, that we would run toward it, Lord, possibly saving some, possibly rescuing some. Lord, hopefully encouraging hearts who doubt. And Father, by also that we may be able to protect this local flock by rejecting those who are here to destroy and divide. Lord, thank you again for your word. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.